AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett here today. Brett, by the way, sticking around for the 4 o'clock hour. Make sure you stick around for that. Brett's pretty dang solid. I got to admit, I have to eat my words, Brett.
I'll pay you for that comment, too, a little bit later on. I'll get you your check.
Thank you. You know, we got speaker, and you want to hear a beautiful phrase? Speaker of the Minnesota House, Melissa Hortman. Oh, God, that's nice.
And, of course, Minority Leader.
Minority Leader. Kurt Dow.
Not going to be muting anybody.
Not going to be muting. Oh, God. I mean, I know Melissa's already yanked that thing out of there. But can I ask the speaker two favors? You don't owe me anything. You don't. I'm a trained chimp here, okay? I get that. But if you could do two things for me. One, don't let Tony Cornish anywhere onto that Capitol. You know, after the games that some of those Republicans were playing, welcoming Tony Cornish in to harass women at the Capitol. Come on. I don't think that man deserves to be able to be allowed anywhere in the state Capitol buildings personally. But can you, because of the way that he left office, can you basically make sure that he does, you know, put in rules in place that he's not welcome back into anything that belongs to the Minnesota the House, whether that's the representative's office building or in the House of Representatives itself? Can you do that? I would hope you could. I mean, it's the least you could do. and considering the Republicans didn't do anything, I think that'd be a step in the right direction. The other thing is, can you do a full investigation into Rob Undersander? Do you remember Undersander? I remember Undersander. Undersander is this millionaire from Waite Park, I believe it was. And Undersander was the hero of the Republican Party because he was a millionaire. And because he lied on forms, well, he says he didn't lie on forms. I've got my questions. I'm not sure for exactly sure if he did or not. But he, as a millionaire, was able to go out and get, 17 months worth of food assistance geared for the poorest of Minnesotans? A millionaire. Now, the reason I call question into this is that you're supposed to cash out, just because you don't want to cash out a 401k or a Roth IRA or an IRA or some sort of stock account or a treasury bond, just because you don't want to doesn't mean you have the ability to go out and get low-income food assistance. And can we have a full investigation into Undersander and see if he lied at all on any of his government forms and, oh, gee willikers, prosecute him if he did? It'd be great if you could, because if he did lie anywhere on those forms, I find it very difficult to believe that that in this day and age where you have diversified portfolios, that there wasn't something that he couldn't have easily, even if it gets as a tax penalty. And you see, this is the argument these guys will make. Well, I had the money, but I couldn't cash anything out. No, you could cash something out. It just was a penalty, and you just didn't want to take the penalty, so instead you took food from hungry people, and you ate that food, and then tried to make it seem like food for poor people is a bad idea because I got some. Well, let's make sure that that guy, if he broke the law, he pays the price. Damn right he should. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, Speaker Hortman, you don't owe me anything. And I sure don't have any, you know, sway whatsoever with any of the House of Representatives, but you know, I would love to see those two things put into place. Thank you. I appreciate it. 952-946-6205. I do have to address a little bit more about yesterday and my calling of Trump out because of the argument that, well, basically he didn't go to the American cemetery in France that has the remains of a lot of World War I soldiers that are there. He did not go on Saturday to the cemetery for the event. And then yesterday, he did not as well go to the ceremony here in the United States. He didn't go to Arlington. He didn't go to Arlington National Cemetery yesterday, like pretty much every president does and does these things. For a part of me, how is this the hardest thing for him to do? If you are just standing back, how many times has Donald Trump entered a room for a bill signing ceremony and tried to walk out of the said room before signing the bill. That's happened like 5 or 6 times, right? How hard is it? You go on out to a cemetery. You stand still, hand over heart, occasional salute, place a wreath someplace, and you know, you make a quick speech about the sacrifice that these people have made, make our freedom and our country better for what it is. We do honor their bravery today. Ta-da! Done. This is an easy layup of a thing you have to do as president. He can't do this. This is not by any means the first time he's had trouble with military and military ceremony. He's a complete buffoon. Now, I do want to mention Patrick in Apple Valley called yesterday. And Patrick in Apple Valley took the path of attacking the messenger. And I want to just make sure I say for the record, I'm not going to apologize to this guy. I am not going to apologize. Patrick, have you posted anything on your social media timelines that says, you know, I remember when I used to get mad at Obama for golfing? Or I used to get mad at Obama for the deficit. But boy, oh boy, you know, Trump's a lot worse than that. I guess I was a little wrong. Have you acquiesced at all on that level? Have you? Have you come on out anywhere on social media and said something to the effect of, you know, I used to rail against tan suits and Dijon mustard and chewing gum and bowing too deeply and mom jeans and latte salutes and Michelle going out and, you know, growing vegetables. I mean, I really was over exaggerating. I really should have probably not been so vicious on the Obamas for all these little things, which really are not worth anything for getting anyone upset about. Have you done anything like that there, Patrick? No. Patrick, have you once condemned any Republican, any moron, idiot, fool, slack-jawed yokel who has gone out there and hung Obama in effigy? Have you condemned any of that? Any at any point? Anything? No? Then you have forfeited any ability to come to me and talk to me about integrity and civility. You cannot. And unless you show me where you have been somewhat consistent, I don't have time for you and your fake outrage. And the only reason your outrage was fake there, Patrick, was because you know you can't defend Trump on this. So your only goal is to get fake outrage and Matt hurt my feelings. Oh, shut up. Go away. And you don't come back on my show until you say Trump should have gone out to the World War I cemetery. Until you say that, I don't have time for you. I do not have time for you. It's interesting. There's two paths of attack from Republicans that are beyond attack the messenger. One is this posting of the Obama photo where a member of the Marine Corps is holding an umbrella for him. Now, of course, once again, the Republicans have edited that photo down dramatically. That's actually a joint press conference with a world leader. I don't know which one it was, but if you look at the actual photo, the world leader on the other side had an umbrella too, and the Marine Corps guy was holding the umbrella, and that's what you're supposed to do if that's the case. If you're outside and it starts raining, they actually have the umbrellas there. That's what their job is, to do that. And they do a fine job, and were you saying that the foreign leader didn't deserve an umbrella, or that the foreign leader should have had an umbrella, and that Obama should have held the umbrella for him? Or what are you saying? I don't quite get where you're going with this criticism. But let's also look at the rebuttal. I mean, okay, your argument is then what? That because Trump was not strong enough to hold his own umbrella at the World War I cemetery, that Trump was not strong enough to hold his umbrella at the World War I ceremony, that Trump shouldn't have gone? Because to have someone hold an umbrella for him would have been a grand injustice for whoever had to do that? Is that what you're saying? Because that doesn't make any sense. Your rebuttal by the fact that Trump showed absolutely zero respect for the veterans of World War I and all veterans in this country by not going to a worldwide attended ceremony. Your this this I just these are two completely irrelevant things. They're not related. But you see, once again, they don't have a defense. So they're running down this road of, oh, well, Obama one time was in the rain. Oh, really? Wow. But of course, Obama, Obama, Obama. The other one is a fascinating one. Republicans have actually detached from the dock. They've untied the boat and they're out floating free now. And I've had a few Republicans argue, no, he was there. No, he wasn't. Yeah, he was. He was there. No, the White House themselves put out a press release saying that he was at the ambassador's residence taking phone calls and having meetings and that he wasn't at the ceremony. No, he was there. Okay, and so I went and found the actual press release from the White House saying that he was at the ambassador's residence taking phone calls and this. And I post this, and they say, well, that's a lie. He was actually there. Wait a minute here. You're actually calling the Trump White House now liars to try to vindicate Trump himself. Wow. Wow. You know, there is desperation and then there is desperation. He didn't show up to Arlington. He didn't show up this. He's a horrible guy. He is a horrible, horrible president. And this condemnation by you guys should be a relatively easy layup. It should be. You should easily just go on out there and say, President Trump, although I'm a fan of his, he should have gone to the World War I ceremony. He should have gone to Arlington Cemetery. He should have gone there. And I'm disappointed that he didn't go. You guys can't do that. I don't know why, but this is an easy one. You guys, for God's sakes, you should be able to do this. But I will say this. What this has really become now is a test of you Republicans. It is a test of your civility and your honor and your dignity and your character. It has become a test of who you are, what you really represent. And for the record, you have all failed spectacularly. Every stinking one of you, you have failed. You have no civility. You have no dignity. You have no honor. You have no character. You don't have any of that. You have failed horribly at this because you can't just go on out there and say, wow, he should have honored the troops. He should have honored the troops. Instead, you live in this little husk filled with your Trump love as you worship your great golden calf that is Trump. You're broken. You people are so damn broken, it's not funny. And God, I got to tell you, I am going to have a blast when the U.S. House starts investigating Trump in earnest, because you guys are going to implode. I just can't wait for it. I just can't wait for it. If you guys can't go on out there and criticize Trump when he, you know, screws up on this level, if you can't, I can't wait for when the undeniable evidence comes forward that he was colluding with Russia, and you guys are sitting there going, Obama! Obama! You guys failed, man. You guys failed huge. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Gary, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. Also, Ashby, Minnesota, we do have an update for you coming up in a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. We're going to be live this Saturday at 8 a.m. and we'll be talking about the Permaculture Action Day that's going to be held this Sunday. That's a free event at the White House in Minneapolis, and it's with this fantastic band, Rising Appalachia. So the Permaculture Action is all about food solidarity. There's going to be all sorts of experiments. There's some aquaponics systems, some vermiculture, indoor food production. So listen to Food Freedom Radio Saturday at 8 a.m.
Oldie, what are you going to get Lena this year?
Well, Sven, how about a t-shirt from Northern Sun?
Oh, yeah. They have those funny ones and political ones, too.
Yeah, and don't you know how Lena feels about that president?
Yeah, I don't care for him so much either.
Sven and Oldie get their shirts, stickers, and magnets from Northern Sun.
You should, too, don't you know?
Visit Northern Sun in Minneapolis on East Lake Street, or online at northernsun.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Gary is in MSP. He's in Minneapolis proper, actually. Gary's kind enough to join us. Hey, Gary.
Hello, Matt. Hey, you know, California's on fire, massive droughts around the globe, and massive floods all over this country, around the world, and hurricanes like we've never seen before. And what are these Republicans going to wake up and stop voting for them jokers owned by the fossil fuel industry, the outliers of the world, and make them extinct before we're all extinct?
Thanks, Gary. Words to live by there. I think we all can agree. How do you attack California for wildfires? How do you, you know? Fred is in Minneapolis, kind enough to hold. Fred, thank you very much for holding. Welcome on into the show.
Thanks. Yeah, I got the scenario why Trump canceled the memorial in France.
Why did he not go?
Well, it was like, it's time to go, Mr. President. And he's like, well, it's raining out. I don't want to mess my hair up. Wait, no problem. I'll just put on a cap. They said, Mr. President, you cannot wear a mega cap to this memorial. Trust me on this. You said, oh, yeah? We'll freaking skip it.
Well, maybe he did. There is a Photoshop picture of Trump where he's wearing a rain hat like a British lady in the 1950s, and it's a great picture. I mean, he should have worn one of those. It's practical.
I've heard, too, that they actually have video evidence that Trump doesn't know how to close an umbrella.
Oh, yeah. Haven't you seen that? Well, he got to the top of the stairs at Air Force One and just made umbrella, boom. I don't think he's all there. I do not think he's all there. I mean, how do you screw this stuff up so bad? And like I said, it's like you Republicans are just so gripping, so... I can't be wrong. That's on you guys. You want another great example of this? Jennifer Carnahan. She is the head of the Republican Party of Minnesota. She's the state chair there. This is basically if you didn't pay attention here, all the statewide races were won by the DFL again. The Minnesota House had an 18 seat swing. 18. It is firmly within the hands of the Democrats at this now, and of course they have had a complete change of leadership there. The Senate is still a one-vote majority, but once again they're in the precarious position, and Bluestem Prairie is reminding us, Carla Nelson, I don't know if you remember, she had to attend to a gravely ill father, And Republicans were like, no, you can't go. We're a one-seat majority. You can't go. And, you know, you're going to have that kind of problem again. Reading from Blue Stem Prairie, all this leaves us a little bit puzzled in regards to the remarks of an interview with the Republican Party of Minnesota State Chair Jennifer Carnahan with the Brainerd Dispatch. Gabriel Lagrard reports in midterm aftermath, state GOP chair talks 2018 election. In summation, a draw, Carnahan told the Dispatch during a phone interview. Where we stood before the election and where we stood after the election, we stayed exactly even. We didn't lose anything, but we didn't gain anything, Carnahan said. Now, obviously, we were hopeful and optimistic to have more of a red wave in our state and be able to win a couple of state offices and add up to our congressional delegation. Unfortunately, that just didn't happen due to the urban metropolitan areas in the Twin Cities. All right, Jennifer Carnahan said once again, where we stood before the election and where we stood after the election, we stayed exactly even. We didn't lose anything. Is Jennifer Carnahan okay? Is she okay? You lost the Minnesota House. And you, okay, you lost the Minnesota House. There's no, you can't say you're even in any metric you want to. You just can't. And of course, it's look at her already going after those Metro City folks. If you take a look at the national numbers, you know where Democrats really picked up? In rural communities. The number of voters for rural communities was astronomically higher than they were before. And as a matter of fact, if you take a look in the suburbs too, this is not inner city, the suburbs, the voter turnout was massive. Take a look, and this is out of MinnPost. If you look, at least 9 incumbents lost last Tuesday despite winning more votes, in most cases a lot more votes, than they had collected recently as 2014. Then they had Roz Peterson of Lakeville. In 2014, she won with 7,856 votes. Tuesday, she received 9,014. She basically got another 1,200 votes, and she lost to Dr. Elise Mann, the DFL challenger. Similar stories can be told by Republicans in Plymouth, Woodbury, Maple Grove, Rosemont, Chanahassen, Eden Prairie, Savage, and Stillwater. Folks, it is like we have been saying since I started on this station. It's about turnout. It's about turnout because there's a heck of a lot more Democrats than there are Republicans. And this proves it. They got better numbers and they still got trounced. Jeff Johnson got the second most votes ever of any person running for governor in the state's history. He had 1,097,000. That is the second most votes ever. He lost to the guy who has the most votes ever. Then in there, that was 1,393,000. He still lost by 300,000 votes, even though he's the second highest vote total getter ever at the governor's level. Jennifer, you lost. And not only did you lost in seats, which I'm going to be dumbfounded if you're going to be able to pick them back up again. I really am. Maybe one or two of them I think you might have a chance at. But the reality is if you really think that you're just going to go down this big bad city is after us country folk, pa-ding, and think that's going to fly in Plymouth, and think that's going to fly in Lakeville, think that's going to fly in Stillwater, come on. Acknowledge, you know, coming to grips with tragedy requires you to look in the mirror and acknowledge the tragedy. You got your asses kicked, and you lost every statewide office again. We even put a bonus Senate race in there, and you didn't even get close. You didn't even get a whiff of it. You know, your party is broken because it's all about, you know, anger and hate and fear and us versus them and not trying to work with the other side. As a matter of fact, how many Democrats, when we did Democrat of the Day, how many Democrats did we talk to? How many that said the first thing that they would walk up to doors were tired of the vilification on the other side of the aisle? We're tired. We're tired of not working together. We want someone that's going to be willing to work with the other side. And, you know, Jennifer Carnahan, I just think, is unless she's, you know, plays hockey and took a hit to the head on the boards or something like that, I think you're just in denial at this point. You didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything. Yeah. Tell that to Kurt Doubt, because I guarantee you Kurt Doubt feels like he lost something. Oh, I guarantee you Kurt does. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do come on back, I do want to talk about the latest with the Ashby Co-op, because there are two stories out that are... Okay, how is this guy not in jail? I'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. My gosh, Brett, you've changed.
Switcheroo.
It is Hunter now who is producing for us today, because apparently working with me for about a half an hour is about all these guys can take.
People have their limits.
I had the HR meeting. Back off. All right, programming here is brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week, The Great Wall. Stop on by. Szechuan Peking dishes are fantastic over there. Really are really top-notch. And with a cool night like tonight, how about some of their soup? It is phenomenal. You'll have a really good meal over there and enjoy yourself. It's actually 46 in France is where you'll find it. 46 in France in Edina, the Great Wall. It's eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week. All right, a little bit of a background on the story. The Ashby Co-op is in Ashby, Minnesota. That's up in Grant County. Small little town that's been up there. And there was a story that came on out of the former guy that ran it, Jerry Hennessy, embezzling $5 million from this place. I mean, I'm rounding up a little bit. $5 million. He'd been embezzling money from it for a while. He'd use this money to go on safaris and shoot wild animals and taxidermy and then taking family trips and buying some property. Needless to say, he basically somehow slipped out of Grant County without anyone paying attention to him. And I have no idea how that happened. But I think that there was some woeful ignorance by the Grant County Sheriff, as well as also the Grant County Attorney. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But needless to say, there's been some questions. Now, we've talked about this. Ashby's gone. If this co-op disappears, that town disappears. This guy killed a town. Conservative tool, by the way, too. Just far-right stooge. And he destroyed this town because of greed, because he wanted to be a high roller, because he wanted all this money. And they finally discovered it. They're trying to save as much as they can. All the grain's gone. It's a real mess. I mean, he stole from the farmers. No, how all these Republicans like to talk about those big city people coming on in here and taking our lifestyle from us. No, that was this guy, a conservative. He did this. Because he wanted to be a big deal, big wheeler dealer. That's the guy, Jerry Hennessy. Fergus Falls, this is out of the Brainerd Dispatch. Tim Leonard was awoken early on Monday, September 10th, by a steady knocking on the front door of his house in North Fergus Falls. I yelled, "What the hell? It's 4 a.m., Leonard recalls. His alarm turned to confusion when he heard a familiar voice of Jerry Hennessy, his revered friend and general manager of the Ashby Farmers Elevator Cooperative. "There was trouble at the elevator," Leonard remembers Hennessy explaining. "I need your help." Leonard said he had not spoken to Hennessy for more than a year prior to his old boss showing up at his door. For some reason, Hennessy hadn't called Leonard back to help on this year's harvest. He hoped the early morning visit was about a job. Soon, Hennessy was headed into the night in a co-op pickup truck. Shortly afterwards, Leonard followed. After a 21-mile trip, they arrived at the familiar Ashby co-op offices where Leonard expected to confront some grain spill or mechanical emergency. Instead, Hennessy came out of the elevator offices carrying a backpack and a cardboard box. Reportedly a diabetic, he later told Leonard that the box contained 4 months' worth of insulin supplies. The two got into Leonard's car. "Just drive," Hennessy said. "I shouldn't be telling you about this," Leonard declined to specify the route except to say they didn't go north. I would say this. I mean, this guy doesn't sound exactly like a steel trap mind. How come you haven't arrested this guy for conspiracy or being part of the crime? I mean, you should probably put some pressure on him. He said his old boss wanted to take back roads, telling him they needed to avoid places where there might be cameras. At the time, Leonard said he said had no idea that Hennessy would be accused of stealing $4.9 million from the Ashby Co-op elevator. At the time, Leonard said he had no idea that Hennessy would be accused of the elevator. Early reports in Agweek cited sources who had heard that an unspecified friend, Leonard, had dropped Hennessy off south of Alexandria, Minnesota. That's technically so, but the two may have driven much further south. In an October 25th interview in his home in Fergus Falls, Leonard declined to confirm reports that he went as far south as Iowa. He acknowledged the drive went on for a long time. Leonard occasionally said, "I shouldn't be telling you this," but continued anyway. Why not? "You don't seem too smart, sir." Describing his encounter with Hennessy, "He was my hero." Oh, wow. And now, by the way, this guy's married with family, I guess. And this, nothing crossed your mind that this might, your hero might not be above board. Leonard, 49, grew up in a farm near Alexandria, Minnesota, where he was listed among the graduating class of 87. He said he graduated in 88. Hennessy graduated from Barnesville High School in 1980. Leonard worked on and off for 25 years at the Ashby Elevator, almost always during the harvest. Hennessy managed the place since 1988 or 89. It was gritty, dusty work, but Leonard took pride in it. At the elevator, Hennessy was friendly, and although Leonard said he didn't spend much time with his boss, Leonard said he occasionally helped with jobs around the Hennessy home in rural Dalton, Minnesota, between Fergus Falls and Ashby. On such occasions, they would often have a beer together. He couldn't say, "Oh, so he got to give you a beer, so I'm going to help him steal $5 million. Because he gave me a beer." He couldn't say whether the work was paid for by the elevator or Hennessy, who was impressed with buildings on the homestead, populated with trophy taxidermy from all over the world. He admired Hennessy's family, his children, his wife, Becky, who was always super nice. "Everything Hennessy touched seemed to turn to gold," Leonard said. His outward success became larger than life through the years out of Leonard's league. "If I shoot a deer, catch a fish, what's that? He's killed one of everything on the planet," Leonard said. Wow, but Leonard was happy for him. "He was my hero," he said, like seeing Superman go down during his southward flight. Hennessy had little to talk about. At one point, he explained to Leonard that there was some missing grain. Hoping to be helpful, Leonard suggested Hennessy could call up some farmers and get some grain in to make up for what was missing. Leonard slowly realized Hennessy was abandoning his family and told him he shouldn't leave them. Hennessy replied that Becky was going to be so angry that things were beyond repair. It's like seeing Superman go down, Leonard said. It sucks. After an unspecified time on the road, the two exchanged some heated words. Leonard told Hennessy he needed to get back to Fergus Falls. He had family responsibilities to take care of and was working on finding a job. I told him to get out. Leonard said he didn't ask where Hennessy was going and didn't want to know. He doesn't want to come back. Hennessy, who allegedly diverted $4.9 million from the co-op for his own use, had just returned from a hunting trip to Australia. Devin didn't pay for the gas. Hennessy apologized for it. Leonard said then acknowledged the man had betrayed him. He stiffed me. And where is he? Leonard said he doesn't know, doesn't go to Ashby anymore. He said he thinks it's common knowledge at Ashby that he was one who helped Hennessy disappear. Yeah, I wonder why they're not so welcoming to you, Leonard. And by the way, we all know you're the one, that guy. That, I'm just going to let you know, we all know you're the idiot that basically let this guy get, you know, drove this guy to freedom. Nice job. He's heard that the Hennessy family is angry with him, but can't explain exactly why. I don't know. Driving their husband and father away in the middle of the night? Yeah, that might be it. I didn't do anything wrong, he said. When the news reports in Ag Week and elsewhere started describing allegations against Hennessy, Leonard was surprised and disappointed. An elevator employer was calling around to Hennessy's friends to see if anyone knew where the longtime general manager had gone. Leonard told his story. Later, the Grand County Sheriff's Department questioned him. The case was referred to U.S. Attorney's Office on October 25th. Leonard was questioned by a special investigator. The agent took his cell phone, at least temporary. Leonard said the phone records could confirm that he talked to Hennessy at all or much of the entire previous year. He speculated the agents might be looking for what cell phone tower his phone connected to on the trip before he and Hennessy departed. Yeah, that's what they're looking at there. And so if your whole story of you didn't go north is true, they're going to find out about that. Let's see, before he and Hennessy party, Leonard said Hennessy told him when he got home to Fergus Falls, he should throw my phone in a slough. Leonard didn't argue with him, but didn't know, throw the phone away either. Leonard says everyone asks where he thinks Hennessy has gone. At what point, joking, he could conjure his old hero from back room of his house. Leonard said he has no clue, but nothing would surprise him. So this guy basically ran, and this guy helped him. Now, there's another story, too, out there. The defunct Ashby Farmers elevator has formally asked a court for permission to enter the property of the former general manager, Jerry Hennessy, to start inventorying taxidermy and other property in the wake of the multimillion dollar embezzlement accusation that toppled the company. Hennessy's wife, Rebecca Becky Hennessy, alleged that he already has agreed to allow the co-op access to inventory property. He said that may happen as early as November 12th. Recovering value from the Hennessys for co-op members is a process that could take months or more than a year, said Eric Algren, the Fergus Falls, Minnesota lawyer at the co-op. In the November 6th hearing, 8th Circuit District Judge Amy Dahl in Grant County said she would sign the order granting access to the Hennessy property. Algren told Dahl the co-op has increased its estimate of the unauthorized checks by $50,000 to $4,950,000, $5 million bucks. It's got $5 million. Before Hennessy fled the region, I believe the reason he fled is that there was absolutely no defense for the checks, that they were intentional theft. Really? Wow! Great detective work there, Sherlock. God. He said it may be is this just white privilege in crime? I don't know. I think the guy that took $5 million, maybe he wasn't being honest. Really? Is there a slow gas leak up there? What? But I guarantee you, if a Native American, Latino American, African American would have taken one too many pennies from the take a penny, leave a penny jar at the local gas station, there would have been 6 squad cars, guns pulled, and a county attorney up there who's going to be locking this guy up and saying, I'm not letting this go until I get answers. Guarantee it. White guy steals $5 million? Hey! You know, should we watch him? No, I don't see any reason why. Why would we need to? Wow. He said it might be possible that Hennessy will still attempt to sell assets. I strongly suspect that he secreted away some cash. You really think? He knew that it was coming down. He had first been given notice by CoBank, which had provided financing for the co-op in early June, that they weren't going to extend their loan as of September 1st. So he had at least that 3 months to realize that his whole house of cards was coming down. And I suspect that he was trying to hide assets at that point. But Algren emphasized he had no proof of that. Algren declined to elaborate whether he knew why CoBank, the Denver-based part of the Farm Credit System, had called in its loan. CoBank officials did not return email requests for the interview in the case of their policies. Hennessy remains on the run, Algren said. He disappeared September 10th and didn't answer his company-owned cell phone. Other attempts to reach him have also failed. Becky Hennessy, who filed for divorce on October 11th, earlier agreed with the co-op request not to sell or transfer her interest in either real property, land in the attached buildings, or personal property, including vehicles, guns, and taxidermy. We've all heard that he has a large taxidermy collection, Algren said. Now we'll be able to see what it consists of. He noted that one of the checks Hennessy wrote on the elevator in July of 2011, coded as corn, was for a Western Bad Boy buggy. It's a Bad Boy buggy, man. Is that like a four-wheeler? Any idea?
Robin's mobile from Batman?
Bad Boy buggy. Is he in a boy band? Is Hennessy part of NSYNC? I didn't remember that. He needed a Bad Boy buggy? I'm not exactly sure what this is, but we're able to find out. He said the homestead is exempted under Minnesota law. The Hennessys can protect the home and land only up to $420,000. Gee, only up to $420,000. Only. I'm not willing to let the wife off on this quite yet, for this reason. You're telling me at no point it crossed your mind. My husband seems to be going to every destination on the planet and bringing back large game animals and having them taxidermed at extreme expense. And at no point did that cross your mind that that might be wrong.
That's pretty noticeable activity.
Yeah, you would think it would be. This is Becky writes a divorce petition saying the date that was apparent was the September 10th. Now, this is the other thing that she says in her divorce petition. She says she points to September 10th. That's the day that he took off, but he took off at 4 a.m. So, well, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know if she's guilty or not. I'm going to just say this. You are turning a lot of blind eyes here. A lot of blind eyes to your husband's behavior. If you think to yourself, oh, my husband's traveling the world, shooting animals and getting them stuffed and bringing them back here, plus buying land, plus building outbuildings, plus taking the family to Disney World on an $85,000 a year salary. Come on. You should have cleared, you know, kind of woken up there. The pending divorce could affect how the co-op preserves the value. Another curveball is that the extent of the co-op can prove the proceeds from the fraud directly went into the homestead. The co-op may be able to invade the homestead exemption, Algren said. Algren is only active in the civil law matters of the case. He had forwarded the facts to local, state, and federal law enforcement for possible criminal prosecution. He declined to comment on what he knows about the status of those cases. In the divorce filed October 11th in Otter Tail County, Becky Hennessy said she didn't know when the property was purchased jointly and estimated the value at $211,000 based on the property tax statement. They also own property valued at $640,000 in Kennebec County. Becky Hennessy did not return messages or her lawyer didn't either. Becky graduated from Barnesville High School in 1979. You know something's going on. You know, you have to know something's going on. And I think that, you know, yeah. And I get, like I said, I'm going to go with what Algren said, the lawyer. You know, they knew in June that their world was coming to an end in September. And I have zero doubt that he probably went out and moved money around and placed money around so that the things that he'd have enough money to live off of and that she would basically have something there and they learned the law. I'd be very interested to see what their computer searches were during those 3 months if they are how to stash money. I think we should, you know, that should be taken into account. But once again, I want to fall back to this point. It must have, I am flabbergasted that there wasn't more effort here to arrest people involved with this. And I actually have to ask some questions of the Grant County Sheriff and the Grant County Prosecutor, because once again, it's rural Minnesota. It's conservative country. This guy was a big old far righty. Was that part of the reason why you turned kind of a blind eye to what was going on? I'm very bothered by this. Because once again, it's just white privilege. Only in this case, it's a white guy can steal $5 million and then still be able to leave state without anyone batting a freaking eye. But I guarantee you this. If you suspected a minority was guilty of stealing $5 in Grant County, I guarantee you there'd be 20 squads and guns pulled and guys in jail and prosecutors saying, we won't release this guy until we get answers. More on Ashby as it comes alive. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018, it's time to get yourself an amazing gift, a new vehicle from Rudy Luther. Through November, get a $3,000 rebate on the Toyota Tundra pickup or $3,500 on my personal favorite, the family-friendly Sienna. Plus, check out that great selection of 2018 Tacoma pickups in stock. And the best part of Rudy Luther is the long-term relationship you'll have with their wonderful people. November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, Gregory Rich, founder and chief at Habitation Furnishing and Design, and now I'd like to invite you to kill your Sunday evenings with me right here on AM 950 with Drink in the Style. It's a one-hour-long conversation of interior design, art, architecture, and pretty much anything else visual and aesthetic, all while enjoying some booze handcrafted by our friends at Mill Valley Kitchen. Can you think of a better way to spend Sunday evenings? Drink in the Style, Sundays. 5 p.m.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, where are you? Computer Revolution with cell phone repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
By the way, Marla Batts informs us the Bad Boy Buggy is a four-wheeler on steroids.
Oh, sounds fun.
Well, it sounds like a heck of a deal. I wonder if the co-op will pay for that, huh? Bad Boy Buggy. You know, how many times do we have to see these conservatives do this? These people that they just fall in love with trying to be the wheeler dealer, the big guy, the Vegas high roller, and you know that's the most important thing in the world to them. And this guy torpedoes. If anyone knows where Jerry Hennessy is, contact your local law enforcement and turn him in. He needs to go to jail for the rest of his freaking life. He stole $5 million, for goodness sakes. If you know where he is, turn him in. That's for sure. St. Paul City Council, completely unrelated story. St. Paul City Council is expected to follow Minneapolis's footsteps Wednesday to approve a citywide $15 minimum wage without an exemption for tipped workers. Mayor Melvin Carter said in his inaugural address that he intended to implement a $15 minimum wage as soon as possible. In the months since, city leaders have met with workers and business owners. Activists have marched through downtown streets and hundreds of people have packed into City Hall to share their views. Council members said that they are looking forward to getting the ordinance passed. Hopefully, will be a celebratory moment for all of us, said council member Rebecca Norker. We've done the hard work. We've asked for the right questions, and I think we'll have an ordinance St. Paul can be proud of. According to the city, more than 56,000 people in St. Paul will get a raise as a result of the ordinance. So good deal. $15 is pretty much the bare minimum where it should be right now. I'm very glad that they do not have an exemption for the tipped workers. Now, I actually did, and I can't, I looked for the story when I saw the story 2 days ago, actually, and I was trying to find a story I read a few years back where it was, there was a tourist area where they did not, they had a minimum wage increase, but they did not have a, they had an exemption for tipped workers, and they actually still ended up doing pretty well, but the gist of the story was because it was a high tourism area. And I think it was Branson. I thought that was Branson, Missouri, or somewhere near Branson, Missouri.
Anyway, I don't remember.
It was a few years back. Anyway, because of the high tourism rates and the fact that the 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you still have a pretty full house on most days, that was, there's the case. For the most part, I have seen these minimum wage increases where the servers, if you're a tipped worker, you, there's an exemption for you, that actually ends up, they still end up being way below a $15 hourly wage. Because whereas a lot of people talk about their Friday and Saturday night guys, well, they're still open at Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon, and there's no one in there. They still are, you know, you're still open on a Thursday at 10. You're not pulling in a lot of tips probably. And so I think, you know, and by the way, and I've been reading more and more about how, why do we do tips anyway? It's such an arcane system of commerce, of paying people. You know what I mean? It's just...
Well, our goal should be to get to a point where it's not needed. The problem is we've built our economy and our jobs where now it's necessary for people to get by. But in the future, all pursuit should be so you don't have to live off of tips to pay living wages.
Well, I think, I don't know. My suspicion would be is the tip was started that the original meal or the drink factored in the cost of employees, and henceforth a tip was truly extra on top of the wage that individual was getting. And so I think but today, I mean, you get people that, really, you know, in some states, it's horrible. Wisconsin is really bad. It's really bad over there. I mean, it's, they're way below. You don't make a livable wage, and you cannot compete, and you can't live. You can't save money. I think it is, we have got to start fixing this wage inequality, and we have had 40 years of wages geared and tax breaks and give backs geared towards the wealthiest Americans. When are we going to actually start focusing more and more on the middle and lower class? And this is a great step. I congratulate Melvin Carter, Mayor of St. Paul. You're doing a great job, sir. I'm very impressed with how things are running over there. This is a great step forward. And I really like the fact that there is no exception for tipped workers. This is everyone. And it hasn't destroyed all restaurants. It hasn't destroyed all bars. It's giving people a livable wage. And that's what our goal, I think, at the end of the day should be. Brett's in next. You have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Tell them, see ya.